On this first Sunday of Lent, please read with me our sermon title from the screen. Repentance, admitting our sin. Taking as our text, Genesis 3 that Reuben read for us, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Please follow your sermon outline. It's provided for you in your handout as we consider our theme, repentance, admitting our sin. When we look at the shape of the world around us today, we're tempted to sit back and ask ourselves this question. Why would people treat one another like this? Why would someone harm an innocent child? Why would a mother or father walk away from their family? Why would someone blow up a building with hundreds of people in it? Why do people cheat, say cruel things, and lie to one another? Why? 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 Well, the answer is found in our reading from Genesis chapter 3. Every rotten thing, did you hear me? Every rotten thing that happens in this world, disease, divorce, depression, death, finds its origin on that day when sin first entered the world. Now, over the next 5 Sundays in Lent, we're taking a break from a normal type of preaching. We're focusing in upon our sin and repentance. These will be more of a low-key message fitting the season of Lent. Over the next 5 weeks, we'll be looking at our response to our sin. The Bible calls that repentance. And today's lesson from Genesis chapter 3 gives us the reason why repentance is necessary in the first place. So let's take a closer look at Genesis chapter 3. The first 6 verses of Genesis chapter 3 describe the agent of deception and sin, Satan. Beginning at verse 1, we read, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field, and he said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" The serpent was, as we know, was Satan in the form of this beast. In Revelation 12:9, listen to what it says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world." Luther wrote in this famous hymn, we just sang it at the outset of worship, he sang in a mighty fortress, he wrote these words, "The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe. With craft and dreadful might, he arms himself to fight. On earth he has no equal. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected. And Jesus Christ is that champion. We," said Luther, "are no match for the devil on our own. The devil is the origin of death. Jesus Christ is the end of death. Eve was no match for the devil on her own, and that old serpent was sneaky on that day. He began coming to our first mother with these words." Just listen to these words as they dripped off his lips. "Did God really say?" He challenged the word of God. And that is what that devil, that liar, that deceiver, that snake in the grass continues to do today. He challenges the word of God. The word of God continues to be the battleground. Look around our world today. Look at the shape so many churches are in today. It's the word of God, or leaving that word of God behind, the devil has used as a battleground. "Did God really say?" asked the devil. Well, the only way we can really know today what God said is if we today are immersed in God's word. And that's why your pastor, who cares so much for you, says again and again, be faithful and consistent in worship and hearing the Word of God. Be faithful in reading God's Word at home, and especially coming to Bible's class, so that when doubt is cast upon what God has said, when doubt enters your mind or is caused by something or someone else, you will know what God has said, and you will not be deceived. But even at that, notice what the devil did when Eve repeated the words of God. He questioned her interpretation. Did God really say? He suggested that the word of God did not mean what Eve knew it meant. And now look next what God cursed Adam for. He cursed Adam for listening to the words of his wife. The problem was that Adam took Eve's words as more authoritative than God's word. And there's the problem today. You see, like Adam, focusing upon what we don't have, all that special tree, once the devil has us focused on what we don't have, and listen carefully to this next phrase. Once the devil has us focused on what we don't have, then our mind shifts from the forest of blessings God has provided to the one tree that we can't have. Listen to that again. When the devil causes us to focus on what we don't have, then our mind shifts from the forest of blessings God provides to that one tree we know we can't have. The serpent says to us, go ahead, divorce your wife, get a younger one. You deserve it. Go ahead, buy all the things you want, go into debt, even if you can't afford it. Go ahead, step on others in the pursuit of your own things, because you will never get what you want just by trusting God. Go out and get whatever you want that looks good to you, however you have to get it, whatever you have to do, because you deserve it. There won't be any consequences. You owe it to yourself to be happy. You've likely heard a version of that in our world today. But the truth of Holy Scripture is this: there are always consequences to sin. Essentially, Eve said to Adam, don't listen to God. You won't die. This is a good thing to do. Look, I took a bite and I didn't die. Ah, but she was dead, spiritually dead, due to her sinful disobedience. And as they say, misery loves company. And so Adam listened to her words instead of God's, and he took the bite that doomed us all. Then God spoke to them the words we hear on every Ash Wednesday. The words you heard if you were in attendance Wednesday night at Ash Wednesday service. Listen to these words God spoke. By the sweat of your brow, you shall now eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Suddenly, Adam and Eve were conscious of being exposed, and what they were feeling was guilt and shame for the first time. Because of sin in our lives, we know the feelings of guilt and shame, don't we? They are feelings we all have when we're honest with ourselves. It's the fear that someone will uncover our nakedness and shame and expose our secret deeds. And so we do what Adam and Eve did. We try to hide from God. Adam and Eve heard God coming. God had walked with them in the garden. It was a daily routine. And formerly, they enjoyed their daily communion with the Heavenly Father. But not that day. That day, they were frightened when they heard him coming. They were frightened because now they knew they had to face the music. And when God found them in hiding due to their shame behind some fig trees, he pronounced this sentence. quote from Genesis 3, because you have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it will bring forth for you. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your bread. Return to the ground, from out of it you were taken. Gone were the easy, delightful days of the wonderful fruit trees. Now life would be hard. Work would be hard. Life would be difficult by the sweat of the brow. Friends, this sermon today is about the doctrine of original sin. And original sin is not just a theological concept taught at the seminary or in a recent confirmation class. Original sin is man's rebellion against God that's being demonstrated again every day in actual sins since the dawn of creation. And the scripture makes it clear in the book of Romans, the wages of such sin is death. The truth is that temptation by the devil is always a con job. The payoff is never what it promises to be. Look at the faces of those dear people who are in slavery to drugs or alcohol. Look at what sin does to human life in hospitals, courtrooms, and graveyards. As with Adam and Eve, sin destroys our innocence. It destroys our relationship with God, with one another, and ourselves. And so we need help, don't we? I ask again, we need help, don't we? Yes. We need that champion that Luther says in his hymn, that champion who has come to fight by our side. Because sin entered the world through one man and a tree, Adam, now salvation would come also through one man and a tree, the old rugged cross. Just as Adam's rebellion at the tree of knowledge brought the curse of death, so Jesus' obedience at the tree of Calvary would bring forgiveness and eternal life. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but thanks be to God, says the scripture, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our death. And he rendered the verdict, paid in full. And as Jesus hung on that cross, he saw and he bore the same sins of Adam and Eve being repeated all through the centuries. And he still said, Father, forgive them. Our gracious God forgives every person who repents of their sin and does it because of Jesus' perfect sacrifice for us on the cross. God tells us, and I hope you're listening, this is why God says, you need never run and try to hide from me again. The reading from Romans today put it this way. The free gift is not like the trespass. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, Jesus, many were made righteous. As we wrap up this sermon today, folks, we say these things. The truth is, we can still play the blame game with Adam and Eve. It was the serpent. It was the woman. It's not me. Or we can play hide-and-go-seek. Maybe if we duck down far enough, God won't see us in the bushes. We can play the blame game and hide-and-go-seek. But there's one thing we can never do. We cannot pay the price for our sin. But we can look to the one who paid the price for our sin and from him get forgiveness. This year, during the season of Lent, let's try something good. Let's be honest with ourselves about our own sin. as we look ahead to the weeks of Holy Week and 40 days, let's admit that it was our sin that caused Jesus to go to the cross to take our punishment. Let's don't waste any time laying blame on somebody else or trying to hide. But let's recognize God's great remedy for our sin in Jesus Christ. Rather than looking at the sins of others, let's look at our own sins and fall down in repentance before our God and say these words, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Today, God's word calls us to repent, to admit our sin, to turn away from it, and then with thankful hearts to turn to Jesus, where we will find pardon and forgiveness, full and free. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, Amen.